All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
You're the one that's been away. You do it.
You know, me being the one being away and actually starting the show might have some meaning if you guys had actually done an episode while I was away.
I blame Fantastic.
Instead, I got to deal with angry customers coming to where I work.
Customers? And like, we charge you for this? When did that happen?
People come into where I work and be like, what happened to fuck my episode? Where is it? I don't know. I left those two guys up to it.
Kevin gave me a call the night before and he was like clearly panicked on the other end. He's like, Dude, you got to bail me out here. I got nothing.
That is
no ideas.
A lie. Damn. That is a lie.
Sold your ass down the river. It took but 3
Fantastic.
Seconds.
You know that's a lie. I can prove it right here. I have proof. These articles, which I have for the news, were printed out at 11:30, between 11:30 and noon on 10/30/2007.
So what you're telling me now is we're going to do last week's news today?
No, I'm just saying that I happen to have these laying around as proof that your theory about why we didn't do a show last week is a lie.
So what you're telling me is that you didn't clean your house since like 2 weeks ago?
No, I keep all the paperwork on file just in case we ever need it for anything.
So what you're telling me is that your house is actually a fire hazard and I should alert the fire department?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's actually true.
It is.
That one he got you on.
I'm getting a renter's insurance. I was looking around this weekend.
Oh, I got the renter's insurance.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have that.
Oh, no, I got
that. How much are you paying a month on that?
I pay yearly. I pay once a year. It's like $100 or something a year.
But how much do you insure for?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Dude, I got insured for like $2 million. I'm not even joking. I got you got to tell me your insurance company. Did you see the library?
I think Geico has renter's insurance. You can go through Geico.
Do they really?
I think so.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
But anyway, you know, I had a wonderful trip in Florida.
We don't care about your
Disney.
Trip. What else have we got to talk about?
Damn.
Yes, let's move right to the news.
All right, let's move right to
thank you, Fantastic.
What happened
last week, Kevin?
The Wonder Woman movie is officially on hold.
Wow, that's officially good.
So says producer Joel Silver, who recently at a press conference for the very funny-looking Fred Claus, said that the Justice League movie is going to go ahead and the Wonder Woman movie's kind of going to go to the back burner.
Yeah, well, they said the same thing about the Superman movie. Superman movie's kind of going to the side. Justice League movie taking the forefront.
Have we discussed who's directing this JLA movie now?
I don't know. Have we?
George Miller. Do you know who George Miller is?
Should I know who George Miller is?
The Road Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
That fossil is coming out of retirement to do the JLA movie.
Well, isn't that fun?
And what they're calling it is a launching pad for other superhero films, including Wonder Woman. So they're hoping to lay some groundwork with the JLA movie and then kind of spring Wonder Woman off into their own movie. And David Dobkin, who is another director, is supposedly going to direct a Flash movie.
Well, that we've kind of been hearing about, the Flash movie.
Well, did you also hear that Greg Berlanti is going to helm a Green Lantern movie?
I hadn't heard that.
So they are really pushing it. Now they're starting to be Marvel in their attempt at these movies, and that's really scaring me.
Well, you know, got to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, no crap. Except the only problem is the fact that the Batman movies are incredible.
Uh-huh.
I'm so afraid of what that's going to do, or what this is going to do
to the Batman franchise. Yeah. Sure.
Are you dying? What's going on over there?
What do you mean?
You were making these faces like I thought I was going to have to run over and kick you in the stomach.
Well, while we're talking about good news and Wonder Woman being on the burner, you're done, sir. Brett Ratner is no longer going to be, or is no longer tied to the Escape from New York
directing
movie.
Anything?
Yeah.
Ever?
So there's some more good news. No more Brett Ratner on Escape from New York. Of course, they haven't said who is helming that project now, but it's just good to know that it's not Mr. Ratner.
Yeah, that movie should be more unlikely than the Wonder Woman movie to be made, because unbelievable that they would remake that. Why remake it when you can just go ahead and make another one with Kurt Russell?
Because
what, he can't do one? Did you see Death Proof? I'm pretty sure he could hold his own in another fucking Snake Plissken movie.
Because they tried to make another Snake Plissken movie, Escape from L.A., and it was... Oof.
I didn't think it was... Oof. I mean, it wasn't as good as Escape from New York, but what is?
It's true.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I'm just saying. Couple of little tidbits from a couple of movies that we should be looking forward to, and at least one that we should be terrified of. The graphic novel Wanted, which came out a couple of years ago, is being turned into a film. We've talked about it, which will star Angelina Jolie and James McAvoy.
Right.
There was a press conference where they showed some bits and things, and people are coming out saying it looks very much like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh.
But with a little more kind of unrealistic action. In the sense that it's more hyped up, more incredible, if you will.
Okay, wait, that was the one with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie?
Yes.
I saw some outtakes from, or I guess clips of that, and that was pretty unbelievable.
Right, which would make this even more unbelievable, as I said.
I'm not really familiar with Wanted, so I don't know what it's supposed to be about, if it's supposed to be Mr. and Mrs.
Smith. I didn't think it was that great a book. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't think it was that great a book. I don't get it personally. And while we're on the subject of shit I don't get, can we please stop with the fucking I'm going to see Beowulf to see Angelina Jolie naked? And then you tell these idiots, look, it's a CGI film. If she's naked, which apparently her character in the film is naked, it's not her. It's a CGI character that she is voicing that looks like her. It's not seeing her naked. Well, I don't care, dude. I'm going to see her naked, Angelina Jolie. Dude.
It looks pretty. Really looks like her, though. At least facially, it really looks like her.
Of course it looks like her. It's fucking CGI. And the guy that Anthony Hopkins looks like Anthony Hopkins.
I mean, it's scary good.
It's facial?
Listen. I ain't done. Get your lazy ass off of the couch and go rent Gia. If you want to see Angelina Jolie young and naked and completely naked and making out with girls, then go. Actually, you know who she hooks up with in that movie? Who's the chick from Lost? The new chick. The blonde. She played Dr. Legaspi on ER. She's blonde, curly hair. She's one of the others.
The girl that plays Juliet?
I don't know.
Yeah. Straight blonde hair on Lost?
That's what he's talking about.
Is that?
She's a doctor.
Is she a doctor on Lost?
Yeah, Juliet on Lost.
She has a questionable relationship with Ben.
Yeah.
She's not French, though. It's not that woman.
No, it's not the French woman. No,
that's...
Yeah.
Fair skin, blonde hair.
Yeah. You can see her and Angelina Jolie going at it in the movie Gia.
And Angelina Jolie's Earth Mama Muff.
And there's no CGI in it. There's no CGI Angelina Jolie enough.
It's the real deal.
Guys, I'm sorry I have to go for a while. I have to take a phone call. But I just wanted to let you know, I realized Matt was away, and he didn't tell us how his trip was.
I tried to. But you ran me over, fantastic. That was your fault. You were like, we don't care about your trip. What do we have, Big Kev?
There's been some stuff, not leaking out, but they're kind of teasing some stuff out about The Incredible Hulk.
Okay, what about it?
Which is a little scary.
Well, duh.
It's a lot of the concept art, they're saying a lot of the concept art looks a lot like the Ang Lee stuff.
Right.
Except that it's the Hulk is not quite as big. He's only going to be about 9 feet tall.
Okay.
The surprising part that they're saying, however, is that they've shown some stuff about the Abomination. The Abomination is humongous.
Well, apparently. That's good. He
much
should
bigger
be
than the Hulk. And he's got kind of see-through skin, kind of a protruding spine up his back.
See-through skin?
I don't know. I don't get it. Translucent maybe in
that's
some
weird.
Way. And it looks like they showed a some sort of animatic of him with two cars in his hand, clapping them together.
That's kind
of
cool.
So he's got to be big. Jet Li is the bad guy in the new Mummy movie, The Mummy 3.
Oh, I had heard about that.
And he's actually, I guess, the mummy. And now, so they were showing some
stuff.
Is
Brendan Fraser returning for that film? Do you know?
I don't know.
I heard that he is, but Rachel Weisz isn't.
It could
be. But it has something to do with their kid. I don't know.
Could be. I thought this film was their kid was grown up now. And
that's what I thought it was originally, too. But then I had heard Brendan Fraser was going to make an appearance. So I don't know if it's a big appearance, if it's a little appearance.
Don't know, mate. Don't know. Hellboy 2, all the original cast is back, which is great. They've added someone very interesting to the cast. They've added Johan,
okay,
who is that dude made entirely of gas.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that... kind of the containment suit with the glass head.
I know who you're talking about.
They're saying that the suit looks a little like BioShock from the video game.
No Lobster Johnson yet, though?
I don't know. Because theoretically, they kind of skipped Lobster Johnson's story in the first film.
Well, this is supposed to be an all-new original story. I don't know. I kind of like Lobster Johnson. I'd like to see him in there.
I agree, but do you know who Lobster Johnson is in the grand scheme of things?
I don't know.
Okay, well, then you need to read some Hellboy comics.
I've read some Hellboy comics. I like the character. Well, while you're talking about Hellboy and, you know, the director of Hellboy being Guillermo del Toro, in case you haven't heard, Neil Gaiman has been hanging out on the set of Hellboy 2 an awful lot.
Oh, yeah?
And Mr. Del Toro has been begging, pleading, pretty much all but signing the contract for him to direct Death. Apparently, Guillermo del Toro is tied to the project. I'm not sure how. And he wants Gaiman to direct it as his first director. I guess it's as his directorial debut.
I know Neil's been trying to... Neil and I are friends, so I have a little inside track on this. Neil has been trying to get the... I probably shouldn't take that approach, huh? Because isn't that whole cooler than the room thing that I'm not supposed to do?
I'm not supposed to do that anymore.
Yeah.
We gave up on
that. Okay, I'll try a different approach. Yeah. Neil Gaiman's cool.
Anyway, so that'd be great. I mean, we want to see a Death movie. We want to see Neil direct something like that. A character as important as Death.
Well, with all these guys, with Frank Miller directing stuff, and it, I mean, it's only a natural progression that Neil
would be next on the block. Yeah,
right. I mean, a couple of Frank's things have been directed by other people, and now Frank is kind of stepping up, and Frank is directing the Spirit movie. I think
he is directing the Spirit movie,
so it's kind of the same progression with Neil. They've done a couple of his things now. Mirror Mask has been made into a film.
Right,
Stardust was a great film.
Stardust,
but Beowulf is his script. It's not really his original material. Per se. I guess the Spirit wouldn't be Frank's original material either, technically. Well, in any event, yeah, it's kind of the natural progression. So good for Guillermo. You know, that means that Neil's been hanging out with Mignola.
Yeah, but let's hope he's not been corrupted by Mignola.
Let's hope not. Bitter old Muppet.
David Self, who you may or may not know, was the screenwriter on Road to Perdition and 13 Days, is apparently the Marvel go-to guy right now. He is writing adaptations of The Submariner and Deathlok for Marvel for screen. And he also is the one that they are talking about as writing the script for this Captain America movie that is slowly starting to creep out of the woodwork. So I guess we heard rumors of a director. Now we have rumors of a writer.
I talked to somebody about this the other day, the Captain America movie.
Okay.
And we had the discussion, and basically it was, my opinion is, I think that the way that Marvel plans movies, they never plan one movie. So they don't plan one Captain America movie. They plan
a trilogy,
a couple of Captain America movies, right? And if the first one works out, like, I'm sure they did this with Daredevil and Ghost Rider.
I'm sure they and option the Hulk. A second and third film or something.
Right. So that said, my opinion about this Captain America business is the entire movie should take place in World War II.
We talked about this last episode also, and I think...
Well, I had a discussion with somebody who said, no, he has to come to the modern world in the first movie. And I said, I agreed. I said, but that should be the cliff at the end. You know what I mean? That right. he comes in. Well, no, because he's a man out of, the whole story should about him should be about him being a man out of time and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not that. I don't think that's the interesting part of the story. I think the fact that, you know, he's kind of this rallying point in World War II and how he's this larger than life hero for this entire generation, quite literally larger than life hero for this entire generation, kind of just suddenly up and disappears. And, you know, the fact that how he disappears and how he's found and all that, I think that should be the first film. And then the Man Out of Time film should be the second film.
While I agree with you, as a comic book guy, as a geek, let's say, I think that that storyline would be lost on a mass audience.
Well,
and I think that's the problem. I think, you know, the problem we run into is that they're always adapting these movies, keeping a larger base of people in mind than people who are familiar with the material, who want to see certain aspects of the material. And that's a problem with a character like Cap. Cap has such a long, rich history that spans such a huge time.
The other problem with that, the other problem with that, of course, is that the entire Cap coming to this time period story has to be completely rewritten.
Oh, sure.
Because he's found by the Avengers.
Right. So you have to kind of work that out.
Right.
Unless, of course, that's the second movie after the Iron Man movie has been made.
The villain isn't the Red Skull, I won't see the film. That's it.
Well, one could hope. I mean, that would be a good choice for villain.
That's it.
But according to Avi Arad at Marvel, he already has a leading man in mind, but he won't name who that person is, of course.
Halo movie, Deader Than Hell, or is it?
All right. Well, it's not Peter Jackson anymore, right?
Yeah. Peter Jackson never left as producer. Neil Blomkamp never left as director.
Okay. So what's happening with the movie then?
Microsoft is negotiating with other studios to resurrect the project. And that might have something to do with the fact that, I don't know if we talked about this, that Halo 3 made over $300 million in its first week of release.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
So who is not going to see this film if they in fact make it?
Everybody's going to see it no matter how good or bad it is.
Right. So what they need now is a studio to sit down and go, wait a minute, fucking video game made $300 million. Our movie got to make at least that. So there you go.
Well, I was talking about leading men just a moment ago. Let's talk about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Okay.
He's not going to be the leading man in Shazam.
We knew that.
Well, it was kind of bouncing back and forth whether or not he would be Shazam or he would be
Black Adam. Oh, my God. He totally should be Black Adam.
Well, it's been confirmed. He definitely is going to be Black Adam in the Shazam film.
Really?
Yep.
Who's going to be Shazam?
That isn't out there yet.
Is it Brandon Routh?
No, God, please no. Who's that dude that we met at Comic-Con that
know.
Wanted to be Shazam?
I don't remember
that looked
that.
Perfect
yeah,
for the role.
Yeah, he did.
I can't remember that dude's name.
Can't remember his name
it's
either.
It's going to bug me. But anyway, the Shazam film is moving forward. Rock is the first official casting in the role of Black Adam. And Peter Segal, who directed Get Smart, will be directing the Shazam film. So how
did
that
Get
translates?
Smart come out yet?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
So that's coming soon,
oh,
I think. I think
well,
it's
that's
a holiday
how,
release. Get
well,
Smart.
That's how... What? Really? Is it?
I think so. I think it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. I think.
Oh, okay.
I could be
I
drastically
seen any,
wrong.
I haven't seen any promotion for it yet.
Oh, I've
you
seen
know,
a
the
bunch
Rock's
of trailers
in that movie. The Rock's in the Get Smart
I know.
Smart
he's
movie.
Agent...
Something.
Something, something, something. Yeah.
Of course, we're always excited when any Philip K. Dick... story or book is
we
made
are?
Into a film. Well, we should be. Smart people are.
I liked Minority Report. That was fantastic.
Radio Free Albemuth is being made into a film, and it's semi-autobiographical about a record label executive that has a vision about a woman who is a fabulous singer, and suddenly the woman enters his life. But it's kind of... I don't think it's really future-y, science fiction-y kind of. It's kind of one of the non kind of stories that
okay.
he's done.
Okay.
What's exciting about it is Alanis Morissette will play the part.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. Film also stars Jonathan Scarfe.
Okay.
And Hannah Hall, who was most recently in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Right.
But you might know her from such films as Forrest Gump.
Who is she in Forrest Gump?
Run, Forrest, run!
She was the little Jenny.
Little Jenny. And, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I like Philip K. Dick a lot.
All right. Well, that's good.
And coming up at the end of the show, we should say, we're giving away our next iPod Shuffle from our sponsor, Alpha Graphics of Montclair. You can check out Alpha Graphics of Montclair at weprintfast.com. And we have some sort of complicated dice something system that we're going to be using to pick the winner.
It was developed exclusively for Big Kev's Geek Stuff by a bunch of people in the archives.
Really?
it's 24D6, 3D4, 4D9.
Something like, I don't know, there's modifiers based on geographical location and weather patterns. It's very complicated.
Look, with over 1,200 entries, it's got to be difficult for us to try to pick one number out of it. I hope whatever the system is, I hope it works.
37.
37 what?
In a row?
I'm just trying to call it. That's it. That's the number. It's going to be 37.
I don't think you're right. But we will be doing that at the end of this episode, and someone will win.
That's right.
And again, we want to say thanks to our sponsor, Alpha Graphics of Montclair, weprintfast.com. They print anything. They send it anywhere for all of your printing needs.
We love them, and you should too.
Yes. But anyway, let's move ahead. What else do you have over there?
Sticking in the sci-fi vein and talking about leading females in movies, little Jennifer Connelly joined the cast of the Day the Earth Stood Still remake. So now she will play alongside Keanu Reeves. We heard he's going to be Klaatu, I believe, in that film. Jennifer Connelly, Hoddly, whatever you want to call her, in the Day the Earth Stood Still remake. Do you care at all?
Not a bit.
I thought you liked Jennifer Connelly, though.
I liked her in The Rocketeer.
That's it?
And I liked her in, any movie she was naked in. Let me think. Inventing the Abbots.
Okay.
And what's Mulholland Drive?
Okay.
Or Mulholland Falls.
Mulholland Falls.
Right, that one. And there's one I'm forgetting.
I don't know. But I have more
opportunities. No, she wasn't naked in that.
I don't know. She but I have one more bit of sci-fi news.
Okay.
Do you have any more sci-fi news?
Well, I have Diamond Select Toys.
That's not sci-fi.
Has revealed their first prop replica that they're going to be releasing from the film Back to the Future.
Really? Oh, is it the flux capacitor?
The flux capacitor.
I had heard about this.
It looks awesome. Has the same lighting effects from the movies, and it's just a little box. It looks really cool. Very, very exciting. It's going to come with a certificate of authenticity, and they'll be numbered. It has lights and sounds and features. Maybe not.
How many pieces in the run? Do you know?
They did not say. Sir.
If you remember, when we were in the Diamond Select showroom at Toy Fair last February.
Okay.
February. When we were discussing the year of the Minimate.
Uh-huh.
And we saw the Back to the Future Minimates that they had coming out. They had a flux capacitor on the wall. And we had asked Mike at that time, we said, is this something that you're making or is this just part of a little prop display, because it looks really good? And he's like, nah, they just built this real quick as part of the little setup and display.
Perhaps we were not the only ones who asked.
That's what I'm guessing. I'm guessing they got a pretty big response to that, and there's been such a demand for Back to the Future over the years that maybe they thought this was a good route for them to go. Don't know that I'm going to run out and buy a flux capacitor, but I am pretty excited to know that they're making one.
Okay.
All right, sticking with sci-fi and movies and remakes, I guess.
And hash.
We're not talking about that. We've heard that Irish director Ruairi, is that how you pronounce that? R-U-A-I-R-I, Ruairi Robinson.
Rory.
Yeah. is tipped to be helming the Warner Brothers Pictures live-action remake of the classic 1988 post-apocalyptic manga series Akira.
Well, it was a manga film, not a series.
Well, it was actually, I think it was a manga book, and then a film. I think the film was based off the comics.
Right. That's interesting.
Live action.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Post-apocalyptic. Could be good.
Okay. Set in Neo-Tokyo? They're going to get an all-Japanese cast for this flick?
There's the problem. Can't imagine they're going to get an all-Japanese cast for the film.
Can we speculate on who they could possibly get?
Sure, we could speculate.
Kid, Harold.
Harold?
From Harold and Kumar. He's Asian.
He is Asian, I suppose. He could be Tetsuo, perhaps. I could see him in the role of Tetsuo.
No, not Kaneda?
No, I don't think so. No, you need someone...
Tougher, young guy?
Yeah, you need someone else for Kaneda. There's got to be somebody else good.
Don't say Masayoka because...
Oh, no. He would be terrible.
In anything. I can't imagine him in any part in that movie.
No, he wouldn't be.
That guy who rubs the beads. Remember? The guy who's like... They have like the cult. Oh, and he's like the big hair thing.
Okay. That could be Masayoka.
That could be Masayoka.
I don't know. Who could you get?
Whoever it's going to be, we're not going to be happy with it until we see it, and then it'll be maybe okay.
I'm willing to take a gamble and say that they're not going to go with a traditional cast.
I'm going
to
tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something else.
What?
They're going to build that bike.
People have built that bike already.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to really build that bike.
All right. I hope so. That'd be fantastic. You're going to want one.
I'm going to get it.
Somehow, some way.
I don't care. I swear if they ever put that bike on the market for real... that I would get it, and that's what I intend to do. I'm not even, I couldn't be joking about it.
Okay. Well, I have some more news.
Did we finish on Akira?
I think we did. I don't have anything else on it, so I'm assuming we're done with it.
Well, why don't we throw it out to the listeners?
Okay.
Let's let the listeners pick some cast members for the live-action version of Akira. Do you have an opinion? Send us your opinion. Go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and... drop us an email. Let us know what you think.
No, don't drop us an email. I will post a blog about it tomorrow saying who you think should be cast in the role of Akira. And you can just use that comment as a form. Discuss amongst yourselves and with me.
In the role of Akira?
Well, in the roles for Akira. How about that?
Okay. Because I don't know. Akira would just be some little Japanese kid.
But that could be Masayoka.
If it's based on the film.
No, see, that would be really funny.
No, he's kid's like 9.
Yeah, no, he looks kind of 9.
10. He's a little, that little kid from the Grudge.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
He could be Akira.
So Joss Whedon. New series, new television series.
Heard about that.
7 episodes over at Fox, which means they'll air 2.
Out of order.
So they'll show the 7th episode first. Starring Eliza Dushku.
Uh-huh.
Project is to be called The Dollhouse. It is about a series of top secret agents who go out on special assignments. And after each assignment, they go back to this lab that sends them out and they wipe their minds completely clean.
It's kind of like that movie with Ben Affleck.
But they, I was just going to say, and which is a Philip K. Dick story.
Is that
bringing it all back?
Which movie? Paycheck, right?
Yeah. Sucks. Isn't there something about the agents, like that they can program them with mannerisms or?
Yeah, they can program with different types of personalities, abilities, memories. So essentially, they're dolls, and they're in the.
So we're really going to see Eliza Dushku flex her acting muscle.
Well, it says each assignment can either be physical, romantic, or even illegal. Fantastic. Illegal.
I don't believe anything's illegal.
She's going to be a hooah.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
You know, speaking of Joss Whedon, me and my friends dressed up as characters from Serenity for Halloween.
In comic releases this week, this is actually really interesting. Dark Horse Comics has put out Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the handbook.
Okay.
And what it is basically kind of, if you want to get into this series is not that far along, and they've traded the issues so far, so you should be able to pick it up. I think with releasing something like a handbook, that you could easily kind of catch up on what's going on in that particular comic. I always find these things very useful. Like, I bought the ones for that series Invincible, and I'm just about done reading them, so I'm going to now try to pick up the trades for Invincible.
Right.
Or is it Invincible? Invincible. And read that. And I think I will do the same with Knights of the Old Republic sure. as well. It also features a first look at the Star Wars crossover story called Vector, which is coming next year, which is very exciting.
That's part of that big, massive crossover that we had discussed?
I don't know if that's the same thing. I'm not really sure. It's some event that they're planning. I don't know if it's that one that we've reported okay. on earlier.
Yo, can I borrow that?
No. Wildstorm, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
Are you serious?
Yep. Three different covers. One features, it's actually one image cut into three. Freddy, Ash in the middle, and then Jason on one end. It's awesome. Please put out a print of the cover because it's really cool.
Did that come out this week?
It did come out this week, yes. The art is very nice. I have not read it yet, but it looks really cool. I'm very excited about reading it. It's Wildstorm and Dynamite Entertainment putting that out.
I might
together.
Have to actually check that out.
Can I see that?
No.
I have some comic book news.
Okay.
I know this is a little late, but people might care. Last week, the first trade paperback of Buffy Season 8, that comic book series, came out. So you
right.
can get that first trade now if you want right. to catch up on the story and jump back in. And then this week, by DC in Wildstorm, I guess, or I guess it's just DC, actually, the Heroes graphic novel came out.
Right, hardcover.
Hardcover.
Featuring two different covers,
right.
one by Alex Ross. And one by Jim Lee.
Right.
I actually prefer the Alex Ross cover.
Is very nice. It contains the first 34 online issues of the
34?
Book. Yeah.
Okay.
34, which was pretty much season one, I think.
Right.
Which is probably a little before and a little bit after season one, I think, was the run.
Okay.
It also features a new interview with Jeff Loeb. It features an introduction by Masai Oka. And it features a hefty price tag of $30. Personally, I think that's a little too pricey for it.
I think it's $35, actually. I think it's $34.95.
Is it $34.95? I thought it was $29.99.
I think it's $34.95.
Either way, I think it's too expensive.
And
I don't know that it's going to do that well because of the price.
Well,
personally.
I personally think it's not going to do that well because season two sucks balls.
Are you kidding me? Did you see this past week's episode?
No.
Oh, it was fantastic, dude.
Well, what's that? One bright, shiny spot in nine episodes?
Well, first of all, I've liked the season so far. So
and you are the only one.
That's fine.
The sophomore slump has hit this show and hit it hard.
No, I like the show a lot this season, actually. I think it's just as good, if not... I don't know if better, but I think it's just as good as season one.
I think it's been fantastic.
I think
it's goofy and off point, and I think they have totally gone down the complete opposite road that they should have gone down.
No, I like it a lot, and this past week's episode I thought ended very good on a very good cliffhanger, and I very much look forward to next week's episode.
Okay.
So, I have one more bit of news in relation to television.
Do you want
to
do that before I do the DVDs?
Oh, actually, you know what? I'll do it after the DVDs, but I have one more thing about Heroes while we're talking about it.
Okay.
Origins is kind of on the
shelf.
On the shelf right now because of the writer's strike. Uh-huh. So for those of you looking forward to Origins and that Kevin Smith written episode,
Kevin Smith is already in production on his next flick, which is Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Make a Porno, yeah.
I think he's going to be starting production. And I'll be going for a set visit.
Oh, very nice.
So I'll be able to report back on
Thank you.
Mr. Smith's new flick.
Why don't we talk about DVDs?
I'm so excited about some of these DVDs that I can't even begin to tell you. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, you should start with Spider-Man.
No. Ratatouille.
Yes.
The best reviewed film of the year, and that's actually true. And it's from Pixar, Disney
right.
Pixar. They're back together again.
That's
hooray.
Right. Back in
bed. Ratatouille features deleted scenes, a whole bunch of things that you would normally find on a fine Disney Pixar DVD.
And for you Pixar fans out there, also out on DVD this week, Pixar Shorts Volume 1 with some new stuff you've never seen before.
I didn't see that. So what's on there? Like Jerry's Game?
It's a bunch of the shorts that we've seen prior to the movies, already almost a lot of the Pixar DVDs, right, all lumped together. But there's also some new original stuff on there. And it's Volume 1, which leads me to believe they have more in the works. Now, I happen to be a big fan of the shorts. Jerry's Game I thought was really good. I like the one before Finding Nemo, I think, a lot. That was the jackalope one, the bound and rebound with the bouncing rabbit jackalope thing.
Yeah, I saw that. That's good. That was on Incredibles, you said?
Was it Incredibles or Finding Nemo? It was one of the two. Oh, it might have been Incredibles. Really,
yeah.
It was one of the two. But anyway, I'm going to be a big fan of the Pixar shorts. I actually think it's some of their best work, so I'm happy they're putting it out in a set.
Amazing Journey, the story of the Who.
Wow, talk about things we shouldn't care about.
It at Best Buy. This is a 3-DVD exclusive edition from Best Buy. It includes the entire documentary, which aired this past Saturday on VH1, and a bonus disc, which is The Who Live in Chicago 1979.
And the only reason we should care about this on our show is that we use Who music ad nauseum. So there it is.
Ad nauseum. We've used it like 3 times.
I like The Who.
That's 3.
Thank you, Mr. Fantastic.
I happen to like The Who as well.
Oh, do you? Is that why you're shitting on them?
I don't think that we need to bring it up on our show, though. It's not really geek-related.
Kev, I noticed something
like
on the back.
Like your trip is.
Yo.
Looney Tunes.
On the back of the Ratatouille box.
Yeah.
The rat is naked. But it's CGI, so it's
sexy.
Okay.
Hot. Looney Tunes, Volume 5, 4-disc collection, another big, giant collection of your favorite Looney Tunes cartoons from...
You know, fantastic. If you want to see that rat actually naked, you can go out and rent Willard, starring Crispin Glover. That's him in there. That's the real rat, though, not the CGI version. Sorry. Looney Tunes?
Yeah, that was important and relevant to the show. It includes the Bugs Bunny show, commercial galleries, Looney Tunes TV specials starring Bugs Bunny. It's just a complete... This collection just gets better and better.
This is volume 4, right?
5. Volume 5. Okay. As I said in the introduction, when coming up with that clever joke that went nowhere.
I apologize. Like all your jokes.
You want to get... You really want to get these because these are the finest cartoons I think ever made.
And, can I borrow it, though?
No, absolutely
you
not.
You should know better than to ask that by now.
And I'm still saving the best for last, and this ain't it. Spider-Man 3.
Wow, that's the worst.
2-disc special edition. Do all versions? Now, I got to know, is this a Best Buy thing that they come with a Spider-Man mask?
That must be a Best Buy thing.
Yeah. Okay, then Best Buy version come with either the red Spider-Man mask or a black Spider-Man mask that wouldn't fit on the head of my cock. Because I swear.
Okay. Well, there it is.
It doesn't even fit in the package. It looks like it was an afterthought, and they just jammed it in there.
No, they've done some sort of package folding or something that allows you to fit it in. We've discussed this movie ad nauseum and how it is nauseating, but you got to pick it up to complete your collection.
Sure.
There's at least 3 minutes worth of film worth watching in the flick.
Sure.
I'm sure there's it's 2-disc, of course. The second disc filled with
stuff,
documentaries about Sandman, reimagining the Goblin, which I'm dying to watch that one to see what idiot decided the whole Sky Surfer look was
right.
Cool. Creating Venom, On Location in New York, Editing Room, featurettes, blah, blah, blah. Just so much ton of Spider-Man 3 junk you can choke a horse.
Fun and exciting.
Best for last.
Okay.
Three Stooges.
There you go. Golden Collection Volume 1, right?
1934 to 1936 contains, 19 shorts, I think.
There you go. Very nice.
Yes, 19 shorts between the years 34 and 36. And this is Volume 1, which means we could finally look forward to some sort of complete collection.
I was just gonna say
of the Three Stooges, which is a fantastic thing.
That's the important part about these sets. Much like Abbott and Costello, when they were first putting the Stooges stuff out, the Abbott and Costello stuff out, it was kind of random mishmash. You know, one or two things here, and then you would get one disc that has something that you already had on it, and two things that you didn't. And now finally, you know, there are those Abbott and Costello sets out. I think there's like four or five of those.
Four.
And then this is the same way. It's probably going to be the only way to get the complete Stooges. And right. That's good. So, you know.
And you know those Abbott and Costellos are not complete.
No, I know. But I hear there's a volume 5 on the horizon.
Oh, is that right?
To round it out. So
I wonder if they're going to collect some of the lesser films. Those are the ones that are region free that you find for $1 or $2.
The lesser films? Yeah.
Yeah. Like Africa Screams.
Yeah, I have Africa
and,
Screams.
And what's the one? Captain Kidd.
Uh-huh.
It's the one where they meet Captain Kidd with Charles Laughton as Captain Kidd, which is actually a pretty funny flick. And there's another one, too. I can't remember what it is. Jack the Giant Killer.
Oh, God.
Or, well, I don't know. There's a couple of them out there that are kind of free-range Abbott and Costello movies that are kind of in the, what do they call it, the public domain. So, like, you and I could put out Big Kev's Geek Stuff Presents Abbott and Costello. Right. You know.
Oh.
Well, we could. I'm not saying we're gonna, but I'm just saying we could.
We could.
But that said, they're in that public forum. If they were actually clean them up and put them out in a set like that, would be fantastic. Very,
like I said,
very good idea.
I've heard rumor of a set 5 coming. So from that same series. So very possible that's what it's going to contain.
Good. Now somebody should do this with the Our Gang films.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there an Our Gang box set
on video?
No, I thought there was a DVD set.
Not
also.
A legal one.
Oh, okay.
Not a legal one. I don't think. Not a legal
I
one.
I thought I had seen one at one point. I could be wrong.
I got them, but they're basically their boots and the tapes.
There's a lot of clamoring for the East Side Kids and Bowery Boys also.
They're out.
Bits and Pieces, no definitive sets.
Oh,
though.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
so that's another one I think is probably on the horizon.
I think it's some good stuff. It's
sure.
Some good old 30s, 40s comedy stuff, which is really funny. I mean, if you like that sort of thing, which we happen to. Here at sure. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, we appreciate all genres.
That's right.
Except Fantastic, who's kind of pointed with his likes and dislikes.
Yeah, well,
but
you know.
Can't win everybody. Let's take a break. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, we could talk about it next break, next segment.
You want to talk? Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next segment.
Right.
We'll lump it in with toys.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with some recent product releases.
Right.
Did Matt get to talk about his trip?
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at NERDZRule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
Hey, this is Edie McClurg, otherwise known as Grace. From Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what he does, Ed.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The sportos and motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What a geek!
At 6 in the morning, she waits at the door. He tells her to leave, but still tomorrow she'll be there again. She won't let go! Can't you just go somewhere on vacation? I could book your flight and pack your bags if you want.
And we're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 81. And we're going to launch into our next segment here. And
I have some stuff to talk about.
Okay. Why are you holding up a phallus?
A penis.
That's what it is. And one of them is a rubbery kind
a
as well.
A plastic penis and a rubber penis.
Okay, what? All right, what is it? Now, one of those looks like one of those Wii-tarded remote controls for the Wii.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I if you remember a couple episodes back, we talked about the Wii condoms, as we're calling them.
I remember, Matt.
That Nintendo was offering for your Wiimote and was starting to package with the new systems out on the market. And essentially, it's a rubber...
Is it rubber? It looks silicone.
Well, it's silicone-y, rubbery...
Silicone
sock, if you will, or condom for your Wiimote. I guess it's to prevent damage if you should hit somebody else with the Wiimote or throw it at your television, perhaps. So I sent away for my four, and I got my four. And the verdict is I hate them a lot.
Okay, why?
Bad experience as
well,
a child.
They're awkward. They're kind of awkward.
Is it the taste? Does it remind you?
It is. It's a little of the taste. I'm not gonna lie.
It's
no,
knobby.
They're awkward. When you're holding it to play something like golf or bowling or baseball, where you're holding your remote with the pointer facing forward, it's not so bad. You do definitely have a better grip on the remote, and I could see where it would be beneficial so that you don't launch it into a TV, perhaps it slips out of your hand.
Now, is that sort of thing, is that the kind of problem that you might run into playing Halo?
No.
Exactly. That's why I don't buy it.
The problem with this is that when you're forced to turn the Wiimote sideways...
And hold it like for original
classic games,
NES style.
Right. Or not even necessarily for all classic games, but yeah, NES style.
Like if you want to play Excitebike.
It's awkward. Yo, I love the Excitebike, sir. I downloaded that game. I ain't lying.
I have that one too.
It's awkward. It's awkward to use the thumb pad. The button, the A and B button or the 1 and 2 button on the Wiimote, not so bad. But the thumb pad is kind of odd.
So we should explain, though, that when you put this thing on, it turns the Wii remote from being what was basically a plastic stick into kind of a rubber bone.
Yeah.
Where it's wider
at the
head.
That's what it is. It's a rubber bone.
But it's much wider at the head where the IR receiver is than at the base of it where your palm would be.
Right. Well, I'm guessing the reason that it's wider up there is that it's actually more padding.
Because that's where the head is.
Yeah. It's more padding up there, but
it's the
for the people who are throwing it, for people who are throwing their Wiimote or having it slip out of their hands, that would be the part that would come into contact with other humans or TVs.
Goomba, what? If you're going to swing that thing around in my house, put the protective wristband on so you don't swing it through,
it's okay.
Through the studio TV there.
I hate it.
I've tested it, though. I took it before, and I banged it against my head, and it does work.
It does. It definitely softens the blow.
Is there one, there one on that one?
There is one
okay.
on this one.
Throw it at him.
Please don't beat it up. That is one of my Wiimotes.
I try to slap it to the ground when you toss it to me. Oh, okay. So it's a lot thicker, isn't it?
It's very
well
made.
Yeah, I mean, here's what it is without the remote in
Throw.
It. There you go, fantastic.
So, okay, I can see why it would be awkward, but if you turned it to play it like this, you wouldn't really need this condom.
Well, you're
on
holding
there.
It the wrong way if you turn it that way.
Yeah,
it would be that way. No, you wouldn't need it that way. The problem lies where there are certain games where you need to use both aspects of the remote. So you could be using it as the Wiimote stick, and you can be using it as a classic console in the same game,
and it's kind of awkward. Can you just pull the knobby end down and make it?
I guess you could, but if it's something that you're trying to do quick, or I don't know, to me it seems kind of awkward. I don't think that I'm going to use them. So
it's passable. It's playable to have it with it on, even in the original NES style orientation.
Right.
But it is awkward. And it looks weird,
yeah.
But it's fun, though.
It does.
I mean, look at it.
I'm not going to be using it.
And
that's
it's clear.
Sure.
It's clear, and it has like all these. It kind of has like a
a
grid suspension on the inside.
Yeah.
So the outer shell of the rubber is kept about like a centimeter and a half from the actual plastic of the remote. But think about once you start using these, how much hair and dirt and garbage is going to get in here?
And
it's going to get all yellow.
Yeah, no, it's going to be gross. At least they should have colored it, made it blue or something.
Oh God.
So anyway, here.
Well, those are these are the ones that are free, right?
Yeah, and these are probably some of the best colored ones
that'll come out will be expensive.
Well, the ones that come with the system now are clear as well. They're the same ones. Yeah. So there it is. Your Wiimote condoms. Can I have that, please?
I'm testing it.
Busticate my remote.
He's banging it.
Yeah, well, he likes to bang it.
Yeah, well, it looks like something that should be used to bang. So.
Come on, I'm going to come over here. Can I smack you in the face with this?
Right, you want me to throw it back?
Yes. Why don't we talk
about the distant studio?
Why don't we talk about that black and white statue that you have over there next?
From DC Direct, the latest in their Batman black and white series. It is designed by Jim Lee. It's Batman, and it's awesome. He's in a squatting position. Looks like he's just sort of jumped down, and the cape is kind of flailed out to the sides a bit. Sculpted by Eric Sosa, based on the artwork of Jim Lee, designed by Jim Lee. And I think it's a terrific addition to the series.
It is. It's. I don't know that it's my favorite. I think the sculpt on Batman himself, I think, is very nice and very reminiscent of Jim's style, obviously. But the cape is awkward to me. I understand the pose. You explained the pose to me, and if you want, explain it to the listeners now.
Well, like I said, it looks like he's just kind of jumped into a squatting position, and the cape is following him down.
He has one knee on the ground. He's not squatting like he's popping a squat.
No.
He's just landed.
Like he's getting ready to use the Wiimote something
dirty. He's a half kneel.
I know, but something about the way the cape looks just kind of bothers me. I really do like the statue. I like all of them, I think. I think the only one I don't like is the Tim Sale one, and that's just because I don't like Tim Sale's artwork. But
really?
Yeah, I still think it looks like Tim.
I don't like the Simon Beasley one.
I still think it looks like
Tom
Petty.
The one that looks like Fantastic Wants to Look.
I like Beasley. I like the Beasley one. He's all cut and ripped.
It's the one over in the studio. You can check over there.
He's got no neck in that one.
If you can go, he's on like the fourth shelf down.
I see.
So
fifth shelf down.
So yeah, it's a good statue. It is a nice addition to the line. Do we know what's next after Jim Lee?
I think the next one is the Andy Kubert.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that is actually the next one, but it is definitely coming in 08.
Okay.
They're doing like 4 a year, every 3 months. So this is November, December. So it would be November, December, January, I guess, maybe the next one. And I know that they have scheduled one, although I don't see it here. And if you're looking on your iPod right now, and I've actually found it, I'll pop a picture up. I think they're doing a Bob Kane one.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah, which is very exciting. And, of course, also coming in 08, the much-anticipated Frank Miller.
Yes,
one
very
sculpted
nice.
By Alteron Bizarre.
Okay.
And it's actually the one from the cover of, I think, Volume 2 of Batman Black and White. Or maybe it's Volume 1. I don't remember. Maybe it is Volume 1. In either case, it's a fantastic piece. If you're watching in iTunes right now and you have the visuals on, you're looking at it because I'm sure I have a picture of it.
I'm sure, too.
It's awesome. This is a terrific series, and the best part about it is they display incredibly well together.
They do. They look awesome all laid out together.
Right. We have a lit case here in the studio that we're displaying all 12 that are currently out, and they're just fantastic. Together as a collection, they are simply probably the finest collection that DC Direct has put out statue-wise.
And what's the price point on these things? 60 or 70 bucks,
it's
right?
Like 60, it's like 50, 60 bucks. Yeah. And worth every penny, really.
Okay.
Some of them are really rare, though. So if you want to collect them, you're going to have to pay a little more on some of them. I know that Mike Mignola one, which I think, if I remember correctly, might have been a shorter run than the other ones, is really difficult to get now.
Well, there it is. All right, in my hand here, I am holding Pansy the Pirate. This is from Pocketful of Posies and October Toys. Our good friends over at October Toys.
Oh, October Toys. They sent me, I got some sort of keychain from them. It has like an old looking key. I put the key on my key ring.
It's very nice.
And then you got confused.
tried to open up the hatch with it.
That's why I was just locked in the library.
Aww. Well, anyway, this is a vinyl piece. October Toys has a lot of vinyl pieces. It's Pansy the Pirate. Like I said, it's from Pocketful of Posies. She's got the real feel hair and the real feel outfit. She's kind of cute. She's kind of got that gothy, toony, pirate feel to her.
We're all a little loony, and in this cartoon, sorry,
we're invading your TV.
Don't let him infect you.
I think the only thing she doesn't have that I see in the picture, she doesn't have a tricorn on, which I'm kind of disappointed at. But maybe there's one in the box. I haven't actually opened it up yet, and I haven't had a chance.
Why don't you open it up?
I'm gonna open it right now.
Open it right now.
But if you want to check her out, you can go online to pocketfulofposies.com. And I think if you go to the October Toys website, they probably have it there as well, octobertoys.com.
What is October Toys? We talked about them. Didn't they do those little...
The penguins. The Gwyns.
The Gwyns.
Yeah.
Which you never brought.
Which, by the way...
She does have the little tricorn. I was wrong.
I have Tux, the original Linux Gwyn.
Yeah, well, I went on vacation, but no one gives a shit about what I have to say.
No, they don't.
It's near my computer. I never saw those Gwyns.
At work. But I got a bigger computer. So I think it's time for a bigger Tux.
Do they make a bigger one?
I think I saw one on their site.
So what you're saying is you need one of the Mega Gwyns.
Is that there's a whole line of
it? I think it's a generic one. I think it's a do-it-yourself one, and then maybe a Tux one as well.
That's exciting,
George. If you're listening, and I know you are, let us know how many Mega Gwyns there are, because Fantastic needs one.
I have never seen one of these things. You realize this, right?
Yeah, I know.
I've never seen one of these. Actually, I have. The little keychain had a little sack with it, and in the little sack was a little tiny Gwyn. That's the only one I've ever seen.
It was like a Gwyn embryo.
I have them. I will bring them for you.
I went through a move.
I went through packing.
I'm just saying.
I went on vacation. It's coming, I promise.
Now he wants to tell us about his move.
No, I just want to tell you about Pansy the Pirate and how cool she is. And I think that you guys should really check her out. She's a nice little vinyl piece. If you're into vinyl, you're into that real feel look, kind of like the Bleeding Edge Goths, another line that I happen to be a big fan of. I think you should definitely check it out. Definitely worthwhile. Again, it's Pocket Full of Posies. That's POSIEZ.com. And if you go to octobertoys.com, they're there as well.
Did she have a hat?
She does. It's actually like it's like a little felt hat. It's not a real full hat.
Oh,
it's a little felty hat, but it's cute. I like it. It's kind of a cute piece.
Well, back on the masculine side of things,
that's terrible, sir. You're a bastard.
What? Just saying. Star Wars troop builders rejoice at the latest. Special six-pack coming out from Hasbro. This is a previews exclusive. You're going to only be able to get these in a store
retailers.
That orders from previews, right? Or you're going to have to get it on the con circuit, if you will. Retails for about, I want to say about $35. It's six different troopers, Imperial troopers, clone troopers, specialized troopers from the video game Battlefront 2.
Right. I like Battlefront 2. I did too.
And this is actually one of two box sets that they've put out. The other one is the Battlefront 2 droid pack.
Oh, that's probably pretty nice too.
Right, which comes with
six different droids
that you can play in the game Battlefront 2.
Right.
In this one, the trooper box, the preferred box, you get the clone engineer.
Mm-hmm.
These are all new sculpts and decos, by the way. Some of these characters have been done already.
So did you get two of them?
Of course I got two of them.
Excellent.
Clone engineer, jet trooper, which is a jetpack trooper. A clone trooper who's actually, I think, a 501, 501st. At least the blue deco seems to indicate that. A galactic marine. And what's important about this galactic marine is he has that sort of Gatling gun.
It's a Gatling gun.
Kind of gun. The clone sharpshooter and the heavy trooper, which is one that they have not produced yet with a giant, looks like a bazooka-type weapon on the end there. They're very cool. You're going to want to pick them up. If you're a troop builder, you're going to want to pick up. Well, I don't know. For me, these would be like officers. If they've like the Galactic Marine would be an officer in my Galactic Marine squad. Rather than getting five of these and forming a whole heavy weapons crew, it's only price restrictive in that way.
I'm trying desperately not to laugh right now.
Why would you laugh? There are a lot of troop builders that listen to this show and who appreciate the troop building aspect of collecting Star Wars figures.
Sure.
I never understood how the armor could evolve to less complicated, to less what seems like less protection. Less decor.
because they probably at some point decided, all right, we don't need all these fancy things. You'll be a stormtrooper, and that's what you get. Maybe they're saving money because they're building the Death Star.
That's right.
Right. We can reason this, but is there actually any Star Wars canon out there that explains this?
Well, no, but we will see the next evolution of the armor that will tie the end of Episode 3 armors into Episode 4 when Star Wars Unleashed comes out.
Really?
Yes, because happening...
Star Wars Unleashed what?
The video game?
Oh, okay. Okay. You mean... is it Unleashed? Is that the name?
The Force Unleashed.
Oh, yeah. Force Unleashed.
Force right. Unleashed. I know what you mean. The Force Unleashed is actually a bridge story between Episode 3 and Episode 4, or at least it takes place in there. And
right.
In there we see kind of the adventures of a young Darth Vader and so on and so
his
forth.
His apprentice.
And his apprentice, whatever the hell it is. But the point of it is that in the design of the game and in the toys that are coming out, we will see Fantastic an evolution from the multicolored, multi-styled armors for different specialties kind of start to go more towards a generalized format. And we saw them at Toy Fair, and you can see the generation. It's kind of like in 40K. Remember how the armor progressed in Warhammer 40,000?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, it's a tabletop miniatures game. One of the armies of which is the Space Marines, and they do a whole history of Space Marines and how their armor developed over the centuries. It's kind of the same way with the Star Wars troopers. And we'll see that transformation or that, I guess you want to call it a consolidation, because that's really kind of what's happening, is they're kind of consolidating all these different troop types into what we see in Episodes 4, 5, and 6, which essentially are just stormtroopers, is what I think. Anyway, it's the Star Wars Battlefront 2 clone pack and the other pack, the droid pack as well. They're out now. You want to check them out and pick them up. Troop builders, this is something you're definitely going to want to have.
That's a cool little set.
Sticking with Star Wars toys and relating to my trip to Disney World last week.
What is he talking about?
While I was there, for those of you who may or may not know, one of the biggest things down there in the MGM park, which will soon just become Hollywood Studios and no longer MGM Studios, there's a ride, Star Tours. It's a simulator ride based on Star Wars. You kind of go through the trenches on the Death Star.
Oh, yeah, they made a bunch of toys from that, didn't they?
They do. They've been doing toys for it for a really long time. It's typically all droids that are featured in some way, snippet in the little movie, and droids in general.
Do you have all those?
I do have all of them up to date so far.
In the package?
Mm-hmm. In the package. I haven't opened them yet. None of my Star Wars stuff is really opened yet. All of your Kingdom Come stuff. Pose. But anyway, this year while I was down there, they've changed it. They didn't do droids this year. They've decided to do something different. We had actually seen pictures of these, I think, a couple months back in Toy Fair or Toy Review or one of those books. This is five figures, all based on Star Wars characters, mixed with Disney characters.
But I only see four.
Because the fifth one is impossible to find. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
So the four I have here in front of me are Luke, Leia, Han Solo, and Darth Vader. Luke is Mickey, Leia is Minnie, Han is Donald, and Goofy is Darth Vader.
Donald is a scoundrel, huh?
He is a scoundrel. Kind of works.
Wearing no pants.
So does that mean that Mickey and Donald hook up? Or Minnie and Donald?
I guess not really, because Luke and Leia, they're brother and sister. In real life, I guess.
Minnie?
Oh, Minnie and Donald. Yes, Minnie and Donald. It's mouse duck love.
How do they kiss?
I don't know. Their bills are in the way. But
Minnie has a bill?
Yes. The fifth figure in the line is Stitch.
Okay.
From Disney's Lilo and Stitch, dressed as the Emperor.
And now wait, is he the Emperor?
Yes, he's the Emperor. It's kind of hard to tell looking at the figure, but he is the Emperor.
Was there a Chewbacca in here?
There was not a Chewbacca, although I've heard that they're going to continue the line and put more out.
I think Goofy should have been Chewbacca.
Now, I spoke to some of the representatives down there in Disney. Oh, and by the way, you can find these things all over the parks at Disney. You can find them at Star Toys. You can find them at Downtown Disney. You can find them in Epcot. You can find them in every park has them.
Then why do you only have four?
Because apparently when the Stitch came out, people were coming in and buying Stitch by the case, just Stitch figures by the case. And it exceeded, or production exceeded demand on Stitch, because Stitch is huge right now in the Disney world.
You meant the other way around.
And they don't have them. They don't have any Stitch figures. Not until at least 2008. They are there are more in production right now, but they're not going to be shipped until January of 2008.
Okay.
So for those of you who don't have them, I've seen a couple online, although none of them by themselves are normally grouped in with the whole set. So you could probably get the whole set online for about $80.
Do they sell these in the Disney stores?
They do not. They're exclusive only to the parks. And I'm not sure if they have them in Disneyland, California. But I think they do.
Okay.
I think they do. But no, they do not sell them. Because, you know, the Disney stores that you find in the mall are not actually owned by Disney anymore. They're actually owned by Children's Place now.
Really?
Yeah. They're associated with Disney, but they're not actually owned by Disney.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The only store outside of the parks that's owned by Disney is the World of Disney store in New York City, 55th and 5th.
Okay.
That's actually an extension of the parks.
These, it looks like these retail at $9.95.
Yes.
Okay.
What's and that Mickey are, money?
They're articulated.
They are. They very, very basic articulation. I mean, I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 points of articulation per figure, depending on which figure it is. So, I mean, look, it's not bad. I mean, they're display pieces. They're cute. If you like the whole Star Wars Disney amalgam, I happen to be a big fan of it. I get the poster each year from the Star Wars weekends. It's a nice little addition to your line. Again, it does have the Star Tours logo on the bottom of the package. It is part of the Star Wars 30th anniversary, so it has that sticker on it as well. And like I said, I've heard they're going to do more in the future. I just don't know what or who. I hope to get my hands on a Stitch. But
have they changed that ride at all since it came out?
Not a drop.
They still have that giant walker out front?
Yeah, they still have the giant walker out front, and it still looks like the Ewok village and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Didn't they make a ship, too, for the 3 3/4 figures? Like a replica of the
thing? They did. They made a replica of the ship that you're actually in the ride, the speeder...
whatever it's called.
XT-3000 or
it's
something.
It's a box.
Yeah, right? It looks like a box. I have that as well, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so a good line. And also, I don't have any here with me, because I wasn't able to pick any up, but all of those... Star Wars Mr. Potato Heads, not the original four, the new ones are all down there in the parks as well.
What are the new ones?
Boba Fett. Luke, Leia, Darth Maul, and somebody else. Yeah, they are all over the place down there, except for Boba Fett. Not a Boba Fett to be found in 5 parks, like 6 stores.
Well, I guess our friend Matt from Atomic Comics.
I got a text message from him while I was in Florida,
I bet.
And it was like, if you see that Boba Fett, you need to get me one. And I was like, I promise if I could find you one, I will bring you home one.
Nothing.
And no, I called all the stores. I actually called their guest services, and I called their shopping hotline while you were down there.
Right.
And they just don't have them. Again, it was demand exceeded production. So they expect to have them soon again, though, probably in the new year as well.
So are you going to go back down there to get them?
Well, I try to go at least once a year. But my family goes down several times a year. My sister's going back down in a couple of weeks. So I've already told her to keep her eyes out for stuff just in case. So
that would be nice.
I hope to complete the set.
That would be nice to get them.
Yeah, it would be nice. Well, I want to at least complete this set. I mean, I have all the other ones so far. It would pain me to be missing Stitch and that's it.
I'd like a Maul potato.
I'd like a Maul potato. I'd like a Boba Fett potato as well.
Oh, and a Maul potato and Luke and Goofy.
I should mention that they have the other potatoes as well,
Stitch.
The other Star Wars potatoes as well.
Oh, they do?
So Spud Trooper, Darth Tater. The only one they don't have there, of course, is R2 Tater, because he's nowhere to be found. So I missed that one. So there it is.
There it is.
That's all I have.
So just to recap quickly, the Wii condoms are out.
Right.
They're kind of intrusive. The Star Wars Battlefront 2 6-pack of clones mm-hmm. and a separate 6-pack of droids.
Right.
Now available. Batman Black and White as designed by Jim Lee.
Right.
The Star Wars
Star
Mickey.
Tours.
Yep. Star Wars Star Tours Mickey Mouse character Star Wars figures. And finally, the...
That's it? Oh, no, the Mr. Potato Heads we had talked about
as
well.
No, the little pirate girl.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. This is Pansy.
Wait. And finally,
Pansy the Pirate. You could check her out online at Pocket Full of Posies. That's Posies, POSIEZ.com. Or at OctoberToys.com. Again, it's a cute little vinyl piece, real feel hair and fabric. Definitely worth checking out if you're into the vinyl. And I think that's it for this segment.
Okay, we'll be right back with the wrap-up.
Alrighty.
Oh, God, another spot? I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the
URL?
Why
don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL, the phone number.
The phone number?
Yeah.
973. What's the phone number?
Pull up the fucking URL. Pull the fucking page up.
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial.
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them. They're a sponsor of the show. You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated.
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this.
Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I gonna make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a
samba that's... Bitch, what you don't know about me, I'm just about squeezing the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth.
Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
Alrighty, we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 8 of them. What are we calling this one again?
I don't know.
I took a trip? Is that what it is? As I took a trip?
I don't know.
All right, what did we talk about tonight, Big Kev?
Look how giddy he is. I don't know.
What are we talking about tonight, Big Kev?
We talked about
Gatling guns.
Diamond Select Toys putting out their first Back to the Future prop replica, and it's going to be a very important one. The Flux Capacitor.
Yes, very nice.
With lights, and it looks really good.
It's what makes time travel possible.
It's true.
Wonder Woman, the movie, is officially on hold because Yay! The awful JLA movie is moving ahead with George Miller directing. This will springboard, they hope, a Wonder Woman movie, a Flash movie, and a Green Lantern movie, all of which are in development and have directors and things which are bad. Hellboy 2 looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, including Johan, a character made entirely of gas, sealed in a suit very reminiscent, they say, of the BioShock suit from said video game. Incredible Hulk looks like the Abomination, looks like an abomination. He's much bigger than the Hulk, who will be about 9 feet tall.
And he's translucent.
I don't know.
What is that
about? I don't know. Maybe it's just an effect on the skin. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe that's early and maybe it wasn't done. You know, you never know with these things.
True.
Mummy 3. Jet Li will play the mummy. Some sort of Chinese mummy, it would seem. And,
Very profound there, Kevin.
I know. I only give you the profound things. Halo, looking for a new studio. Peter Jackson and, Neil Blomkamp still looking to make this movie now that Halo 3 has come out and made $300 million in its first week. Alanis Morissette will star in the new Philip K. Dick adaptation Radio Free Albemuth. It's time to ride with the strings. It's very exciting. What?
It is very exciting.
Philip K. Dick's a nice dude.
Brett Ratner no longer tied to Escape from New York. Jennifer Connelly
tied to a stick and thrown in the ocean.
Exactly. Jennifer Connelly joining the cast of The Day the Earth Stood Still remake. Joss Whedon has a new television show coming out on Fox. It's slated for 7 episodes, which means, again, they'll probably run 2 or 3, and like Fantastic put in before, out of order, I'm sure. Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be Black Adam and not Shazam in the upcoming Shazam film. What else do we have? We had some comic book news. Again, the Heroes graphic novel came out this week. It's got a $30 or $35 price tag on it. Very nice. Hardcover, 34 issues. Two different covers. One by Alex Ross. The other one by Jim Lee. Kev, you had some comic stuff?
Knights of the Old Republic Handbook, number one, has come out. It's kind of a good way to get into this Star Wars comic that's been out for 30 issues or so now.
Forever.
And, it looks like a good read. And also, Wildstorm joins forces with Dynamite Entertainment to produce Freddy versus Jason versus Ash.
I'm pretty excited about that, not gonna lie. We had a couple of DVD releases this week.
Right.
And last,
Ratatouille, Disney Pixar flick, best reviewed film of the year. I like when they put that stuff.
And don't forget that Pixar Best of Shorts Volume 1.
Amazing Journey, The Story of the Who, the Best Buy 3-disc exclusive, also contains The Who Live in Chicago, 1979. Looney Tunes Volume 5, another fine collection of Looney Tunes cartoons from the 30s and 40s and God, every era, it would seem.
Right.
Excellent. You must pick it up. And you could or could not pick up Spider-Man 3, The Disgrace. And the Best Buy special attachment comes with a Spider-Man mask, a cloth mask, much like the Lucha Libre mask that came with that
Nacho
special
Libre.
Edition.
Yeah.
The Nacho Libre, thank you. The Nacho Libre mask that came with that edition, except this mask wouldn't fit on anything.
Right.
It's so tiny and ridiculous. You can either get the red or the black Venom.
Very,
And of course, the highlight, I think, of the DVD releases, the Three Stooges Collection, Volume 1, 1934 to 1936. 19 digitally remastered shorts presented in their original release order. You can't go wrong with this. You just can't go wrong. It's just a classic, classic set of comedy shorts. And those are the DVDs.
In the second segment of our show tonight, we had some product review that we talked about. We talked about the new Batman black and white statue by Jim Lee. We also talked about the Wii condoms that you can get out there. If you go to Nintendo's main website, you can order yours for free if you already have your Wii. If not, your new Wiis are coming with them already. We had the Disney exclusive Star Wars Star Tours. Disney characters as Star Wars characters, 5 figures in that set. Stitch is the hard one, get them if you can. And we had that Battlefront 2 battle pack featuring, was that six
special edition clones, and there's a second set that features 6 droids.
We also talked about Pansy the Pirate from Pocket Full of Posies. Check that out online. And no, I mentioned the statue.
Okay.
I think that's about it. I think that was the show in a nutshell.
And as we mentioned at the top of the show, it's now time for us to reveal who the winner of our latest iPod is. All right, fantastic. We ready? Are we ready for this? Okay, Matt, will you roll the dice?
What do I have here? About 50 die here in this thing?
Yep.
There you go. You ready?
It's a complicated system, but it could work.
All right, here it goes.
All right, here we go. And it's
645. Number 645. Fantastic. Who is that?
645.
That is. That is Mr. Jonathan Cooper, Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
There he is. So,
Mr. Cooper, congratulations.
You've won an iPod Shuffle from Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's
You'll
right.
be getting that iPod Shuffle sometime in the near future.
Sometime in the near future.
Yes. Yes, you will. So congratulations. Now, and we have another one to give away.
Right. We still have at least one more.
But the question is, are we going to give that one away here, or are we going to wait and give that one away?
I think we should give that one away
on XM.
On XM, I think.
Okay.
That's pretty exciting again, no?
Our next live XM show is Saturday, November the 17th.
That's right.
We will have, according to rumor, two exquisite, extraordinary guests.
That is the rumor.
Sam Jones and Melody Anderson.
Ooh.
From 1980s Flash Gordon film.
Very exciting.
We'll be announcing a special project that day that we'll be working on with them.
Ooh, da-lolly.
And they will join us for the show, and we will give away iPod, and hopefully we will have other things to give away as well.
I hope so. That'd be nice.
All
right.
Okay.
Well, don't forget, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or MySpace.com/BigKevsGeekStuff. Check us out on iTunes by looking up Geek Stuff in the iTunes Music Store under podcasts.
Yeah, and if you check us out over there, and even if you don't, go over to the Apple Store, iStore, whatever it is, and leave us a review over there.
Yep.
Helps us out over here.
Don't forget, too, you can check out the site almost daily as I'm trying to post something for you guys. And check it out. Read. Leave some comments. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what you think about the episodes. We want to know what your feedback is. I know a bunch of you email me personally, but you could use the site, too. Don't be afraid. It's okay.
And a big announcement coming on the XM show.
Oh, really?
About one of our new ventures.
You know, we have so many new ventures.
I know. This one is very exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not excited.
It's the unveiling at last, at long last, of Big Kev Eats Stuff.
Wow.
And
we're
going to be making a special announcement.
A spectacle, you mean.
Out of that on November the 17th when we're live on XM 202. If you don't have XM, isn't there a trial they can get?
You can. If you go to XM.com and you click on their subscription link, you can read about how to get a free trial to check us out live that night by listening on your computer.
And don't forget, always, you can drop us an email, let us know what you're thinking, what you're seeing out there, and something that you'd like us to talk about. We're always open for your suggestions.
That's right. So I'm OG. That's Big Kev. Fantastic. Anything?
Final words for episode 81, Fantastic?
Matt, I have a question for you. Okay. If you had, say, thousands of DVDs and you painstakingly put them in alphabetical order, where would Clerks go?
Under Kevin Smith.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And on that note, we cue the music.